I'd like to welcome everybody to our February meeting of the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District Board. We're meeting in person here in our office in Springtown and streaming it online. If anybody wishes to speak on any topic, if you'd hit the chat function online so Doug can let me know on that. Director Watts, would you call roll, please, sir?
Jared Reynolds.
Here. Here.
Shannon Nave.
He's in the building. He'll be here in a second.
Okay. Richard English.
He's absent.
Tim Watts here. Tracy Messler.
Here.
Mike Berkeley.
Here.
Don Micah.
Here.
Brent Wilson.
Here.
We do have a quorum. If everybody please stand and join me in the pledges to the flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one faith, under God, one indivisible.
Doug, we have any public comments?
I have not received any at this time, Tracy.
Okay. Show it is 5:02 a.m. Conducting public hearings, receiving any public comments, requests to contest, and general manager's report and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and or requests for exceptions to the district's water well spacing or minimum tract size requirements. Applicant owner, Barclay Waddell of Kennedale. Well location is on the East Highway 377 in Crescent. Doug?
Yes, sir. I'll go through each of these, Tracy, and then we'll think unless you want something different, the board can take action at each one as we finish it.
Okay.
Just a quick reminder, I always put this up for operating permits. Rule 2.9 discusses how we allocate under an operating permit, and it basically says the board shall grant the lesser of a reasonable non-speculative demand, groundwater demand, or what can be calculated based on contiguous controlled acreage. And I'll talk about that specifically as for each particular application. So the first application is for system 108H. It is on 377, just west of Crescent. They're requesting to drill a well for a public water supply well for an RV park was originally what it was intended for. We've had some discussions about that, and I'll talk about that in a second. The proposed well is well ID 17009. It's a new well. They're requesting 90 gallons a minute. Drilled to the base of the aquifer, they're estimating 700 feet, but the plan was to drill to the base of the Trinity, 8 5/8 casing, 20 horse pump. Spacing requirements for 80 to 100 gallons a minute are 2,500 feet to the nearest well. There are four shallow wells within that 2,500 feet, but they all meet the vertical offset requirement, so no exceptions necessary there. And the spacing requirement is 750 foot to the nearest property line, and there are seven properties within that spacing. So just to give you an idea, I'll show you a map. The map on the left shows the 750-foot circle, and you can see the seven properties that fall within that they're requesting an exception for. The figure on the right shows a 2,500-foot circle and shows that the four wells within that, but those wells are all shallow and all meet the vertical offset requirements set forth in district rules. So they're only seeking an exception for property line spacing. In regards to operating permit, Rule 5.2D1 describes the allocation specifically for the Trinity Aquifer as the acreage owned or controlled by the applicant multiplied by 500 multiplied by the average aquifer thickness. So in this case, the applicant's property is just over 17.9 acres. The average aquifer thickness on this particular property is 677 feet, according to the GAM. And that comes out to a total allowable allocation of just over 6 million gallons. This time in their application, they have requested 2.701 million gallons per year. Their justification on that, and Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, it's based on, what, 50 or so gallons per day per connection for the RVs as that was originally submitted. As with all applications that require an operating permit, staff puts together a fairly extensive report where we look at impacts to both the local and regional level. For the regional impact analysis, it's a 10-year impact. We run, basically a TTIM model, and we look at how the proposed pumping scenarios could impact the area immediately surrounding the well, basically within that 2,500 foot that we require spacing. So there are several wells within that were existing, four shallow wells, domestic wells. Those were included in the simulation. Being in a different formation, it was less than a fraction of a foot impact over a 10-year period. I think the greatest is, you know, 0.006. So very, very small impact. Staff also simulated wells at both the full 2,500 foot and then at 1225. Away from the well, away from the proposed well, and each of those locations simulated a deep well to the bottom of the aquifer, completed just like the proposed well, and then also a shallow well into the Paluxy Glenrose portion of the aquifer. As you can see, the deeper wells definitely saw a little bit more impact than the shallow ones, but impact was fairly small all the way around. Only a few of them were over a foot over 10 years. So I would say in the grand scheme of things, fairly minimal impacts from the proposed project to the local area. We also look at a regional impact where you run the full GAM, where it takes into account all pumping over the entire aquifer. And then we can add this project into that. You can see that it adds, basically 8 acre feet, of pumping to the outcrop of the Twin Mountains in Hood County, and there was no additional drawdown in that particular formation in Hood County based on this project. Now, what's interesting about this one is as we were preparing this, it was come to our attention that the property in question, there are some deed restrictions in place. What we had found and had been provided to us showed that the deed that's transferred the ownership of that property is subject to these deed restrictions, and it is questionable. You know, it's not up for us to determine, right? But it does look like there are deed restrictions on the property that may disallow the development of an RV park. Kyle's been in talks with the applicant. It does seem that they have decided to change their proposed use to storage, RV storage, something like that. However, the item, they're scheduled to go before the City of Crescent's council for rezoning on March 22nd. And because of that and because of the question, so obviously, you know, the applicant can, just like anybody else, you know, they've got 2 acres, so they can obviously drill a well on their property. Whether or not you grant exceptions, one a different thing. But if they're seeking an operating permit, they have to be able to prove the demand, right? And what they provided for us at this point was based on, RVs. And right now that's in question whether or not they can put that in place. They've asked to possibly change to a storage facility, which would likely require much less water. But because of those situations and because the rezoning of the property is scheduled for hearing the day after our March hearing, my recommendation would be to table or continue this hearing until our April 2022 board meeting. And I'm happy to answer any questions or if there's anybody that has anything to say on this in the public, anybody listening in.
This is David Ferretti. Am I allowed to speak? I was the applicant.
This is the applicant.
You are correct. That is it. I understand. That makes a lot of sense. We don't have an issue with that. I've been in contact with Kyle as well, too. We're going to put together revised documents for that potentially tabled next meeting, and we'll get that into him ideally at the end of this week. Now, if we're not going to make the March, I'd just like to know what the new deadline would be if we're going to be pushed to April.
Board member, board, do you have any questions?
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the recommendations of Mr. Shaw.
To table and continue until the April meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, let me clarify. Table it until after decision by the city.
Okay.
Because we do not know for a fact the city will actually make a decision. And let me even clarify it more. Table it until we have a decision from the city. A final decision from the city.
Okay. I think I heard 2 seconds, didn't I?
Yeah, I second it.
I have a second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Doug, bring it back to us when Crescent makes a decision.
Will do.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Item B, applicant is BKV Barnett out of Bridgeport, operating permit on County Road 4227 in Aurora.
Yes, sir. Just for those of y'all that may not be familiar, BKV Barnett purchased Devon last year. Is that correct? So if you're not familiar with seeing BKV, you may be familiar with Devon Energy. So what they're asking to do is they're seeking an operating permit for an existing water well. And I've got some information about that water well. I'll show you guys in a minute. Back in, I believe it's 2019, Devon transferred ownership of this particular water well. This is a water well that Devon had used, in the past for oil and gas activity in Wise County. They transferred ownership of the water well back to the landowners in 2019. As part of the historic use permit process, the landowner indicated they weren't interested in filing for an historic use permit. At the time, I think they were, you know, if they ever, I think they're just like so many others, probably something along the lines of if the oil company wants to use it, they can take care of it at the time. And so folks from BKV reached out to Kyle, I guess right around Christmas, and said they had some interest in getting an operating permit for this well. And so that's what they're doing. It's an existing well. They're not looking to, you know, drill a new well. They just need, they're just asking for an operating permit for that well. The existing well is well ID 223. It's a 700 foot deep, 150 gallon a minute well. Again, it's drilled, as you can kind of see on the last map there, you know, northeast of Boyd. Shown here is just an image from the state well report. You can see it was drilled in 2006 before the district was created. There's a picture of the well just threw up there. It's a, again, it's an existing well, so no spacing requirements. None of that's in play here. They're simply just asking for an operating permit. So again, like we talked about for the last item, operating permit allocation is based on thickness of the Trinity Aquifer multiplied by 500 multiplied by the acreage owned or controlled by the applicant. Under this applicant's property, of course, BKV is the applicant, but we've got all the paperwork from the landowner allowing them to utilize this well and all that. And we've seen their lease, and their lease gives them access to groundwater underneath the property, which is 996 acres. Average aquifer thickness is 580 feet, and that comes out to a potential 288,840,000 gallons per year. BKV is requesting 35 million gallons per year. And that's based on the drilling and completion of, I believe, two wells and the re-stimulation of multiple wells in the area. And that is their request. They sent us some more, a little bit more detailed information. I believe I put it in the memo. We, as with the last one and with anything like this, we do some impact analysis. Obviously, being a larger well, pumping a larger volume, the impact, it is worth noting that there are no other registered wells within the required spacing. And being such a large property, the well actually meets property line spacing as also. So everything that we did an impact analysis for was really, there's a little bit to the east and west that was off of the applicant's property, but most of the spacing actually lies within the applicant or the owner who the applicant is, you know, producing on their property. It's within their property. But it is worth noting some of the simulated wells in the model run showed, you know, around 10 feet, from 9 to 12 feet of water level decline over a 10-year period. Again, that's assuming, and it's the nature of these types of wells, right? So when we talk about, you know, public water supply wells, once they're drilled, they're, as long as people are living there, those wells are going to be producing. In this particular, with the oil and gas wells, it's really a few years of pretty intense pumping, followed by multiple years, maybe forever, of non-activity. So I would say that, you know, it's a reasonable to say that these 10-year impacts could be slightly exaggerated because they assume that the well is pumping the entire 10 years, whereas in fact it may only be pumping first 2 years, maybe the fifth year, maybe the eighth year, maybe not even that, maybe all 10. But I based on conversations, I would doubt that it's going to be pumping all 10 years. Also, the same kind of situation when looking at, you know, a regional impact. This model simulation actually assumes the well's pumping that year in and year out for 50 years, which we very unlikely would be the case. But we did go on and run the full GAM. It did increase a little over 100 acre feet to the outcrop of the Antlers in Wise County, which included one additional foot of water level decline regionally. Still under the adopted desired future condition for that particular formation in Wise County. But again, worth noting that it's very unlikely this well would be pumping this volume year in and year out for 50 years. As with, you know, again, it goes back to some of the other counties when a lot of times when these wells stop pumping, you see water levels start to come back up. So that being said, for this particular one, you know, what they're requesting is well under what they could be allocated under district rules. There's no new well associated with this. So my recommendation is approval of operating permit ID 36 WOP in the amount of 35 million gallons per year. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Remind me, once an OP is granted, do they have it forever, or is there a...
It's a 5-year permit with administrative renewal. So in other words, if they're not asking to change anything, and as long as the district hasn't adopted or changed rules related to permits, then it's an administrative approval of the renewal by the general manager. But assuming they ask for a renewal. But yes, it's a 5-year permit.
This could go for 5 years. They could decide they don't need water anymore, yeah, and it could go back, yeah, to what it is today.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
What, when it operated before, what were they pumping out of that well?
Kyle, do you remember
the, this volume range, or was it a lot less?
Do you remember the...
I honestly didn't look at their
I mean, this is one of the odd situations where we do actually do have some historic,
yep,
information on it. If you don't mind, Kyle, thank you.
Doug, while he's doing that, we're granting this based on they're alleging that they're going to need it for oil and gas production.
Correct. Yes, sir.
That's a large amount, obviously. Can we limit it? Can we limit it, the operating permit, for only oil and gas production? I mean, do we have a concern that, okay, next year they're going to do it, they're going to put a so-and-so in?
It's that. Yes, we can, and we actually do. A permit is for a use type, right? So this would be for an oil and gas use, and that would be all they could use it for.
Okay.
This is 35 million gallons a year out of... How much is available?
288 million. Yeah. Was I believe the number?
It's a small percentage of it.
288,840.
I was just curious as to what the previous consumption was when they
were. Yeah, and it shouldn't take Kyle long to look that up.
And I'm not familiar on this area. I know how what happened in Montague County when they stopped pumping for fracking, things came back.
Correct.
Did we have the same experience down here in this area?
Most areas, yes. It's harder to tell, you know, pumping for oil and gas in the other counties didn't make up such a huge percentage of the county's total pumping like the way it did in Montague. I mean, you know, in the other counties, it may have been, I mean, in Wise County, it may have been as much as or slightly more than public water supply pumping. But, you know, exempt pumping was still higher. And in Montague, I think it tripled or quadrupled the total pumping in the county over a, you know, annual basis over a 10, 15 year period. And so that's one of the reasons you saw so much rebound in water levels after that stop, because it was, I mean, again, 3 to 4 times more than all the pumping in the county combined.
Stress was relieved. So
yeah. Yeah. Whereas in the other counties, it may have been pumping as much in Wise County, but compared to what else is going on, it was a smaller percentage, smaller piece of the pie.
If they decided to sell their company,
they would transfer the permit.
And we'll be notified every month on their usage?
Yes, they report twice a year. They report in July for their January through June, and they report in January for their July through December usage, and it's monthly totals.
Well, just as long as we know that when they change ownership, well.
Yeah, they're required to notify us of ownership change within 90 days. Most companies like that, when they sell, they let us know, man, we knew they were selling 6-8 months before it actually was finalized, because they wanted all the information and got everything, all the transfers and set up stuff ready. What's up? Because we don't have all the 2021 pumping. They're still reporting 2021.
Do we want to go on to the next one, and then when he comes back, get that information? Is that all right with everybody?
Ready to motion the table?
No, I'll just come back to it. We haven't taken any action on this one.
While we're waiting on that, you'd like me to start the next item?
Yeah, item C, which is Hammett Excavation, Inc. out of Dodge City. Multiple locations along Highway 82 in Ringgold. And I'll point out to the board, this is not Trinity. This will be Cross Timbers.
Yep. And I'll talk a little bit about that too, Tracy. This project, they're proposing 3 new wells in northwestern Montague County, all west along Highway 82, west of Nakona. And it's for Hammett Excavation has the contractor. I believe this is a TxDOT project.
Yes.
They're working and rebuilding. Tracy knows more about what they're doing.
They're widening the
highway. Widening the highway. Knows more about the project than I do, obviously, but what they're doing, asking is for 3 water wells to support that activity. They're proposing wells 16, 835, 836, and 837. They would all be 30-gallon a minute wells. They're estimating about 450-foot, 4.5-inch casing, horse and a half pump, and they're asking for 30 gallons a minute. The spacing for that category is 500 feet from the nearest well, 150 feet from the nearest property line. I didn't make a map. Just need, this is all open ranch land. Most 2 of these wells are on a fairly large ranch, 4,000 acres. The other one's on a smaller 60 acre tract, but these wells all meet spacing by, there's not any wells anywhere near these proposed wells. However, because this is the Cross Timbers and there is no GAM, which states in the process of awarding a contract for the development of a GAM for the Cross Timbers, because there's no model, and as Jared and I have talked about recently, there's not really any much great information in aquifer properties for the Cross Timbers. It's virtually impossible to do any kind of modeling or simulated impact analysis. So we left that part out of this just because the data is not there. For the Cross Timbers aquifer, district rules state that allocation shall be no more than 25,000 gallons per acre. They have 4,112.815 acres associated with this project, which would allow them up to almost 103 million gallons per year. They initially requested 75 million gallons. However, after discussions with Kyle, they were really able only to justify 25 million gallons a year. And the way they justified that is shown here, 291,153 cubic yards of dirt for the highway construction at 12 gallons per cubic yard, 382,995 square yards of cement stabilization at 11 gallons per square yard, an estimated 385,378 square yards of flex base at 13 gallons per square yard, dust control four loads per day at 6,000 gallons per load at 6 days a week. And the remaining just under 5 million, they assumed would be for evaporative loss and livestock. So they'll be putting this water in some ponds. And that comes out to 25 million. I'm actually recommending approval of an operating permit for 30 million because in a dry year, that evaporation and that livestock use may be more than that. And again, similar to the last permit that we'll talk about again here in a second, you know, this is probably going to be pumping for, what, 2 years, Tracy?
2 years.
And then they'll be done forever. These wells will be turned over and they'll use them to water cattle.
There's a caveat on that. This is phase one of four phases as they're going west. And this may be the only water for them until they get closer to Henrietta. So maybe it may be 6 years.
Yeah. So you're exactly right. It may be. But it's still not a permit. It's not a long-term project.
I have one question. You have mingled the acreage from the Jennings Ranch as well as the acreage from the Brown Ranch, correct?
Yeah.
To come up with the 4,100 acres?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's not all of the Jennings Ranch because some of that was non-contiguous. I think Kyle was telling you about that earlier. But that's what was contiguous. And so, yeah.
And we have the agreements between the two property owners with Hammond.
We do. I had Brian actually put together just a real simple one-page agreement for both Hammond Excavation and the property owners to sign, which authorized the Hammond Excavation to apply for wells and apply for an operating permit and put all that in their name. Again, Brian drew it up and it was signed by both parties. So we have that for all three wells. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
We can require them to be a monitoring well since we have some difficulty monitoring back there.
We cannot. We can ask them. We ask almost everybody, but we cannot require them.
I think we should, since you said we've got limited data and realize if it's only going to last for 3 years, we're going to have data for 3 years.
Again, they're going to be reporting their use. We cannot require them to be a monitoring well, though. They're not asking for any exception to our rules, which is how we normally put that stipulation on there.
Well, it's sure good to get some information from them.
It would be great.
See if you can, as a caveat on it.
I don't think, you know, we necessarily need to put it as a requirement, but if we ask real nicely and all that, if go out there and say, pretty please, can we log your well beforehand? Because I would be real interested to see resistivity and a gamma log look like on that.
I'd like to see all three of them to see if there's anything that correlates between them.
But we got the tools and everything. If we could just, you know, I think that's something we ought to at least ask because there is no cross timbers data. And so anything that is out there that you can get your hands on, and you know, I don't think there'd be any added expense to theirs. It'd be, you know,
if we can get them to keep the hole open for a few minutes, let us run the
get them to keep the hole open and send our guys out there and run a
request out of Hammett, correct?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, thank you.
I suspect Hammett, based on that conversation that day out there on the rig,
they probably wouldn't mind.
I happen to go out there doing my day job because they found the hand dug well in the middle of this right away. And the field supervisor for Hammett came up and was discussing, and he was very curious about it as well.
Yeah. This district staff went out there and we ran the camera down the hand dug well. And
they still pay the same fees.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Doug, I bet you if you check with the landowner, I think any rancher wants to know what his water levels are. And that's going to be the long term permission that you need.
Yeah.
Unless the rancher's from Dallas or something like that, he's going to understand.
I think one of the two would probably let us.
I can almost guarantee one of the two. The other one, we give it a shot. Yeah. I know both of them. I mean, and I agree, Jared. The more data we can get up there, the better we're all.
You know, something like that, you don't have to request like a monitoring well. You can use a regular well for a monitoring well and just
if Pelton put a 1-inch piece of tubing down it, and then, you know, you could get data out of it just as a, not necessarily a requirement of the permit, you know, but just as a, will you work with us on this deal?
Yeah, the reason why I mentioned that would allow us to get on the property.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, just.
Now, we'll ask them and we'll see, because you're right about logging it too, because there's no.
Yeah,
I mean, anything we can log out there, it's new, it's new good data. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Any other questions?
I'll make a motion if we accept the recommendations as presented. I won't add that other part, but be recommended to do due diligence.
Gotcha.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Kyle?
So I want to take a look real quick. Looks like the highest use was from 2012. Devin at the time looked to use about 21.7 million gallons out of that well. That seemed to be their highest use year, 2012, 2011, 2010, like those kind of bounced around between about, 14 million and that 21.7 million. So looks like, you know, I could definitely see them using the 35, but it would be on the higher end.
Back on item B, any other questions from the board?
One comment, though. The application says for agricultural use only. I mean, I'm sorry, also agricultural use. Does that create a problem as far as they're going to get charged off? Or?
It doesn't. So, obviously, agriculture use is exempt. And what they could do, a lot of them don't. I don't think if BKV does. Technically, they could, and our rules allow for them to split the wellhead, and anything that's for oil and gas has to be metered, and anything that's for agriculture can go through and not be metered. But I think Devon typically just reports all of it, or BKV now just reports all of it. But yes, the agriculture use isn't, I mean, it's not, it's an exempt use, so they can do that. It's whether or not they want to figure out how much of it or use that through a, to go around or pass through by the meter. So.
I believe we had it in our rules at one point. If they had that situation, they had to do that. Otherwise, they get charged for all of it. It was kind of a default. So. Board heard general manager's recommendation. Do I hear a motion?
Move general manager's recommendation.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Nave. Any further discussion?
Does this include what I commented on earlier, limiting it to oil and gas production?
Yes, sir. As far as non-exempt uses, yes, sir. There is on the permit itself, on the face of the permit, there's where it says use type, and it limits it to that.
Would be oil and gas and agricultural as
well. Anything else? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. And I show it's 5:37, journey out of the public hearings. Anne? Move into our regular agenda. Get the page turned here. Consent agenda, which is normal and customary items, non-controversial. Board members can request an item to be pulled, be discussed separately. Includes the minutes of public hearing and a regular board meeting of January 24th. Approval of the bank statement ending January 31st. Approval investment report. Payment of bills and invoices received through today. Reimbursement of expenses incurred on behalf of the district through today. And approval of request for extension application is submitted through today. Doug, anything in there?
I have nothing to add, nothing of any that jumps out.
Board, want anything pulled? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Watts.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two is moot. Item three, consider authorizing general manager to take all necessary action as directed by the board to pursue and possibly execute a contract on behalf of the district for the following: A, construction of additional covered parking spaces for the district offices, and B, paving of the entryway at the front gate of the district office. At this time, which I show is 5:39, we're going to go into executive session under item 551.071, consultation with legal counsel. No action will be taken in executive session. We'll come back out in open session to take any necessary action.